Good afternoon. This is Mark J. Ward, and the Bible program is called Pleasing God. And we were talking yesterday in our Bible study about how about let's just make a church and what are the good things concerning that and what are the terrible things concerning that, depending on what people are doing. And we talked about in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 10, that when there was a local church of God at the city of Corinth at the time of the writing of 1 Corinthians, Paul, the apostle, by inspiration, warned them, rebuked them, that they were in error by being divided and by not being united on, guess what, the Word of God. Because if we unite properly on the Word of God as individual lives and with regard to how congregations function, local congregations, local churches, are to function in accordance with the will of God. All too often, somebody has played peanut butter religion and gone out and developed a creed book of men, and that's what makes that particular denomination different than other denominations. Rather than getting back to the cross and back to the pattern and back to pre-denominational, there was enough trouble with human beings being in churches of Christ in the New Testament times that needed correction without having to add to and multiply the problem by creating denominations of men and women that take much of the Bible but then add what I call the rat poison. By adding pollution to the Word of God, it becomes error. And when rat poison is for the most part good food because it needs to attract the rodent, it's a very minor percentage in the rat poison that is deadly. But the fact remains that it's not pure food that is wholesome and good for the animal. It's the poison that's the killer. So we need to beware and we need to wake up, and it's high time to wake out of sleep and drop the denominational terms and drop the denominational dogma and read the Word of God and do our dead level best to follow the pattern of New Testament Christianity. A, in the way the individuals are to act and live to please God. And B, the way local congregations or churches are to function so that they are scriptural in name and in practice and in doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 1, reading from the New American Standard again, beginning in verse 10, Paul directs the problem head on. And with love, we should do the same thing today when we say similar problems. Paul says, inspired of God, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree." See, they weren't. They were divided. "And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." Oh, that's the gold standard, Mark. We'll never reach that. Does that mean we're not to try? Does that mean we're supposed to depart further from the faith by getting Let's Make a Church and create number 1501 religious organization that is another division when God doesn't want division? Jesus prayed for unity in John 17, and Paul is working against division here on behalf of the Lord. Paul didn't want a church named after him. There had preacheritis in this congregation. He said in verse 11, "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you." Now, I mean this, that each one of you saying, "I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, Paul's stepping on some toes of people that like him enough to say they're of Paul. Think about what he's doing. He's not picking right now directly in his verbiage on those that were saying they were of Apollos or of Cephas, who is Peter. He's getting on to the ones that were followers of him. Now, he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators or followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But that doesn't mean you're to say you're of Paul. We're to be Christians. We're to be members of the Lord's church and be happy that Paul can be considered to be our brother in the faith, our dear brother in the faith, an apostle who is a great example of one who will stand up and defend the truth for Christ and advocate unity as opposed to division. Where do you stand on this matter? If I say to you, let's make a church, do you know the difference between the right implication of that statement and the wrong implication of that statement? The wrong implication would be to use our feelings, for example, as the determining factor of what do you feel about this subject? What do you feel about that subject? And we'll just write it down and make a little creed book, and then we'll come up with XYZ name, and there you go. We've hatched out another denomination. Oh, we hold Christ in high esteem, but we're not following just the New Testament. After all, we decided we wanted to be XYZers. See? We weren't satisfied with just being called Christians and being members of the Lord's church, as in the pattern of the New Testament. We want to be uniquely identified as XYZers, and we've got a creed book to go along with this. Do we really think that the Lord is happy with this type of peanut butter religion that we'll go shopping for what we want to do for God instead of getting out His Word and finding out the roadmap, what is God's plan for the individual and what is God's plan for the church? Well, Mark, you may say, I've never heard of such a preaching as this. You're odd. I'm not used to this. Where are you coming from? Well, let's just turn to the Bible, because that's where I'm coming from. Matthew 18. Jesus is on the earth prior to his church being established. He's still living as a Jew perfectly under the law of Moses, which was the law of God at that time. And yet he's preaching things concerning the kingdom of God, preaching things concerning the church that he would build. Not as an afterthought, not as a failure. Well, I was going to do a kingdom, but the people aren't ready, so we're going to do plan B, call it the church. No, the kingdom and the church are the same. Look at Acts 2 and look at Colossians 1, verses 13 through 16. Now, there are some passages that talk about the kingdom of heaven, and they're not speaking of the local church on earth. They're talking about getting to heaven. But in the main, the most of the times that we see the term kingdom of God in the New Testament, it's really talking about the church. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, concerning answering this question from the Bible of what's all this hullabaloo about pleasing God as an individual and also in local congregations, God makes a distinction in His Word between the responsibilities of the individual and the responsibilities of the local church. Listen, please. Reading from the New American Standard Version, in a passage, Matthew 18, 15 through 18. Jesus said, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. That's two individuals, an offender and an offendee. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Here's still just individuals acting. How do I know? Look to the next verse. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Well, Mark, I thought if we were Christians, we were the church all the time. No, we're the body of Christ. We belong to Christ. But there are things that we do that are peculiarly individual. doesn't separate us from doing what's right or wrong. But like in these verses, there's instruction to the individual, and then there's instruction about the church receiving a beef among brethren, and the church getting involved as a local group of Christians who've agreed to work and worship together in a given locality and share a common treasury, as you can read in the pages of the New Testament. Well, let's go to another one. The Bible is full of individual action and church action throughout the pages of the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 5, concerning those of us who may have parents and one has passed on, maybe leaving a widow, and say we're all members of the body of Christ, we're all Christians. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:16, if any woman who is a believer, New King James says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows. This says, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, notice, and the church must not be burdened. There are some things that God places on the responsibility of the individual Christian that He doesn't want the local church to necessarily be strapped with. Why? Let's read on. So that it, that is the church, may assist those who are widows indeed. And the qualifications of widows indeed are found over in 1 Timothy 5 around verse 4. Starting in verse 3, honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. So here's another passage, like Matthew 18, 15 through 18, that separates some responsibilities of individuals who are Christians from the local congregation. God has a function for both. And we're not trying to do things that are for the church to do as an individual Christian. We're to do it in the church. And then there are other things that are unique to the individual that God prefers that the church not do. Well, you're telling me the church can't do good? God determines what is good for the individual and good for the church. And if it's not authorized for the church, it's not right for the church to do things. For example, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable to all things. That's a passage to the individual Christian. So, a Christian can take exercise and drum up a ball team and have a ball league. But is it the work of the local church to get involved in social and recreational activities and spend money from the treasury for uniforms and ball bats and softballs and cleats? And catcher's mitts? Oh, but we could get people to join the church if we could have a church ball team. Now, you can get people to become members of the church if we'll just preach the gospel and do what the Lord says about His way to be well-pleasing to Him. Let's make a church. I say let's do it the Lord's way and we'll be right and not do it man's way. Please consider this. Give it prayerful consideration. Study the Word of God, for it is what's going to teach us God's way. Love you so much. Have a wonderful week. And we look forward to talking to you again, Lord willing, next week. Please write us if you have a Bible question or comment. MarkJWard.com. Go to the comment or question section. And listen to past episodes by clicking on the radio and listening to other episodes. And tune in when you can. Thank you so much and have a pleasant weekend.